I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah this morning. And please make sure you read your creation outreach, our creation moments insert. It actually has to do about fish, which kind of connects in with what we were talking about post-potluck. But if you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah in Micah chapter 6. And if you find the book of Jonah, you'll find the book of Micah right there, right close by in Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, and in verse 8, this is one of the most important verses that you can find in the Bible. It goes along the lines of Romans chapter 12. It goes in line with the things that we find over there that Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, as well as the book of Proverbs, and things that we find in Psalms. But it says in this passage, it says in verse 8, it says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good." And this is the Lord that is showing. And it says, "And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this time. We do thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to just keep in mind this issue of being humble. And Lord, I just pray that as we approach this message this morning, that we would have humble hearts, that our hearts would be truly penitent and desirous of you and your word to work in our lives, that Lord, we would strive to keep our flesh in check, and that Lord, we would desire above all to please you with our attention to your word. I thank you again, Lord, for those that are here, and just pray, Lord, that you would continue to just work throughout this time with your spirit and your word in our hearts. I pray this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. But this morning, I want to talk about walking humbly with God. And you know, in light of some of these things that have gone on, it really brings us to a realization of what we are. We're frail creatures, and we need to remember that. And obviously, one of the things that the Lord hates is that proud look. He tells us that in Proverbs chapter 6. But what we find in this passage with the book of Micah is kind of in line with what we were talking about last Sunday. And we were talking about continuing with the Lord and what continuing with the Lord looks like. When he commended his disciples at the Last Supper, he said, you know, hey, you are the guys that have continued with me. And we talked about that, but when we begin to look at it and we think about that idea of continuing in the Lord, it's a continual walk, as we were talking about. But what we do in that walk is just as important as being there. How we do that walk is equally important as being present. You know, in this day and age, a lot of people just talk about the power of presence, right? And what that means, you know, the power of presence doesn't yield a lot if that presence is irritating. Amen? Sometimes that power of presence, if you've got somebody that is there that is irritating to you, you want them out of your presence as quickly as possible. And we know certain individuals, and we may think of individuals that in our mind that we have that. But again, what we talk about when we're being present with the Lord and Him being present with us and walking with Him, continuing in this walk, is the Lord says, there's a way I want you to walk. Now, we talked about walking worthy of the vocation, but what we find with this is the specific manner in which that walk is to be done. And that walk to be done is to be done with humbleness. God does not want somebody walking there that is filled with pride. God does not want that somebody next to Him, walking alongside Him, that thinks that they know more than Him. The things that they know more than everyone else. The things that they're better. I mean, that was the reason Satan fell. That was the reason that Lucifer lost his position. It is something that we experience, because of the fallen nature that we have. But what we need to begin to realize is that as we ask God about these things, about, Lord, how do you want me to walk? How do you want me to continue in this walk? And the Lord tells you, well, here's what I want you to do. Here's what all I require. Can you just walk humbly? Can you just walk humbly? You know, I was thinking about that when I was preparing this message, and I was thinking about individuals that I know, and there's a few guys that I know that they would walk around like they're God's gift to the world. And I'm not talking about necessarily what they say. I'm talking about their gait and their walk and their stride. And they've got that, you know, their chest puffed out, and they're that kind of guy that just is out there almost like daring somebody to mess with them. And they're walking around thinking that they can beat everybody and that they're, you know, that they're superior in every way. And all it takes is one guy with the right, you know, angle and hit that jaw and goes down like that. You know, I mean, that's human physiology. You know, that's what happens if you make the right connection to that jaw and just move it ever so slightly an inch, they instantaneously drop a person. But I will tell you this, you get those individuals that walk that way, and God says, in our Christian life, that's not how I want you to walk. I want you to walk in humbleness. And I want us to think about this for a moment. The definition of the word humble is a disposition that is free from a proud look, which inclines one to take a lowly position in the sight of God and others. Now, obviously, you begin to notice that there's a connection there with charity. But that's the idea of what the Lord wants. He wants us to look at ourselves and not esteem ourselves better than anyone else, but to esteem others better than us, as he says. But what we find is that we find in the Word of God that he wants us to have a lowly spirit. Not boasting of ourselves. That's why salvation isn't of works. As he says over there in Ephesians chapter 2, it is not of works lest any man should boast. He doesn't want us to boast about that. And I've heard some people boast about their works after salvation. And when they start boasting about their works after salvation, I'm like, I just kind of like want to move away from them. You know, they're boasting about, well, I've won 257 people to the Lord. I've read my Bible over 465 times. I've never missed a day of church. I've been there sick, dead, and whatever, passing all sorts of germs and disease to everyone else. Amen? And, you know, and they sit there, and it's like the Pharisee boasting. Well, I give tithes. I'm glad I'm not like that publican. Thankful I'm not like that publican, Lord. Look at me. Look at what I give. Look at all my tithes. Look at how many times I pray. God says, you know what? That grieves him. That grieves him. I mean, when you start thinking about it, you begin to realize that's a little bit of the Church of Laodicea mentality. Where they have need of nothing. Why? Because they got it all. And what does God say? I will spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because it's not appetizing. It's not pleasant. But go over to 1 Kings, and I want us to see this here, what it means to be in 2 Kings chapter 22, what it means to be humble. I mean, so we've got a definition, right? But what's the practicality of it? How do I get humble? If the Lord says, I want you to walk humbly with me, well, Lord, how do I walk humble? What does your scripture tell me that I need to have as the attitude of my heart so that I can be humble in the way that you have set forth for me to be humble? How does that work? What's the mechanics of it? Well, in 2 Kings chapter 22, we have this prophecy. In 2 Kings chapter 22, we have this prophecy that is given to Josiah saying that he's obviously, things are going to go bad because they have left the Lord and they've found the Word of God because they misplaced their Bible. And next thing you know, as they read, oh, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. And we find here this prophecy that is given by the prophetess at the college. And it says in verse 19, it says, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should come become a desolate and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard them, saith the Lord. So the Lord's saying, look, I hear you, Josiah, because you're being repentant. You're truly making a decision here, he says, to be humble. But I want you to notice how that humility starts, that humbleness starts. And it starts with a tender heart. It starts with a tender heart. Look, you will not have humility and you will not walk humbly with God if your heart is hard. If you're stubborn and you're rebellious and you're unwilling and you refuse instruction and you're just one of those people that just sits here and goes, I'm not going to do it, that type of stuff, God's not going to work with you. As a matter of fact, God says he's going to resist you. Resistance is real, folks, and God will resist you. I don't want God to resist me in anything. And if God says he's going to resist the proud, I have to have my heart tender. That means when I see conviction from the Word of God, I am receptive to it. When I see correction from the Word of God, I am receptive to it. When I see instruction from the Word of God, I am receptive to it. When I see things that I need to do in my life to build up other individuals, I am receptive of it. When I see and understand when he says, when I fail to do good and I know that I need to do good and it is sin, when he tells me this is a good thing to do, I should be receptive of it. The person that is unwilling to change because they say that's just the way I am is a person that is not going to fit this category of tenderness. Of tenderness. You know, whenever anything comes up in your life, the first thing you need to do is you need to start asking yourself, because this is what he teaches us over in the book of Matthew. Before you start trying to pick the mote out of your brother's eye, take care of the beam in yours. That's what that whole judge not, lest you be judged means, by the way. It means judge right. It doesn't mean don't judge. Because there's a slew of other verses in Scripture that tell you you need to judge. But what you need to do is you need to make sure that what you're doing as far as judgment goes, that you are doing the right thing first. Examine yourself. And this is what we should always do. And a tender heart will examine. We'll examine ourselves. We start going through something comes up in our life, what do? First thing we ask ourselves is, am I in the right or am I in the wrong? And you don't ask yourself that in the form of, well, because I mean, be honest with you. We'll give us the right answer, won't we? Am I right or am I wrong? Well, of course you're right. No, you ask God. You ask God and you say, Lord, show me from Scripture. And he will, by the way, folks. Don't discount him that he won't. He will. And whether it's through messages and preaching, or whether it's through your Bible reading, or whether it's somebody coming alongside and saying, hey, have you thought about this from the Word of God? God will show you. I want you to see the second thing here. I want you to go over to the book of Psalms. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 10 is where we're going to start. Psalms chapter 10. In verse 10 here, in Psalm 10:10, and I just want to be kind of clear about this. I understand the context of what is here, but in a humble approach, in a humble way to do things, it says, he croucheth and humbleth himself. He croucheth and humbleth himself. So you know what you need to do? You need to learn to crouch down. When some look, what typically happens when somebody starts running their mouth? What do? We stand up. We're ready to defend ourselves. We're ready to be resistant. We're ready to push back. We're ready to do those things. And I understand, I get it. But at some point in time, you know what? We just need to crouch down and wait and see. We need to see how the Lord is going to handle things. If we are walking with Him, we need to make sure that we are doing it in the right way. And it says here, you know, part of the humbling thing is to crouch. The crouched position is not a humbling position, by the way. Or excuse me, it's not a pride-filled position. It's a humbling position. Why? Because when you crouch down, what are you doing? You're getting low. You're getting low. I'll take a look over at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16. In connection with that verse, I want us to understand this in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Looking at how we be humble requires a tender heart, requires being crouched, which means to bring low. And here he says we need to be lowly in verse 19. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide spoil with the proud. Look, you know what? Don't try to win every argument. I want you to think about that for a moment. Don't try to win every fight. Let God do your fighting for you. Let Him divide the spoil. Don't be of that nature where you're so wound up that you are going to spoil somebody. You don't have to destroy somebody. You don't have to do those things. You know what He said? It's better to be of a humble spirit. It's better to be with the lowly people. Because why? Because we find the connection that humbleness involves being low, lowly. As I said, the definition is of that is a disposition that is free from proud look that inclines one to take a lowly position. It means that that's your first response. Is, you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and be humble about this, and I'm going to lower myself. We are so invested into elevating our own lives, elevating who we are. And I'll tell you this, it's better to be low. It's better to be low than to be right. The Lord wants us to make sure to understand pride can never be there. You may be right, but you make sure that you're low about it first. Take a look at what he says over in Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 2, there's two verses that I want us to take a look at. Isaiah chapter 2, but in verse 9, it says, the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. I want you to understand here the context, and I'm using these things to give a picture of what humbleness looks like, and I get the context of what is being said here, but I want you to see what humbleness involves. It involves bowing yourself down. You know, back in the day, when you had to give obeisance to somebody, you had to bow down to them. You had to bow down to them. And nowadays, nobody wants to bow down to anybody. Nobody wants to have any authority over them. Now look, I totally understand the political environment today, but I will dare say this. We have to be very, very, very careful about some things. You know, all these people that were going around just the other day talking about the whole no kings thing. Be very careful with that because... You know what? I understand we don't have a king. I understand what the office of the president is. I understand that they're going back to the revolution. I get that. But be careful because you should have a king. That's right. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we need to understand is this, is we get that concept of that, you know, that's a very dangerous thing, because I can actually see that at some point in time where they're marching around when Jesus Christ comes here to rule and reign, and they're marching around with a no king sign. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So just kind of keep that in mind. Careful. You can have, there should be no other king other than Jesus, which is exactly what the people were preaching back in the day over there with in the 1770s. And they were preaching that there is no king other than Jesus Christ. But yet, the Lord still said, even if you do have a king, even if you do have a president, even if you do have a governor, you still need to submit to him. That's his commandment, by the way. We've got to be careful with that. But I want you to understand, he says here, you need to bow down. To be humble, you need to bow down. Verse 11, it says, the lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. He's talking about what needs to happen is the exaltation of God. That he's the one that will be exalted eventually when he is ruling and reigning. But here he makes it very clear here that people are going to bow down. They're going to bow down to the Lord. So when we are walking humbly with God, we need to have a bowed heart. And a bowed heart is a submissive heart. A bowed heart is a submissive heart. When we look at this and we begin to realize what the Lord is saying, look, you've got crouched, you've got lowly, you've got bowed down in two senses, and we begin to see that the lower you get, the more humble you will be. Take a look at another passage over in chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, talking about this, being humble. In verse 5, it says, the mean man shall be brought down, chapter 5, verse 15. There we go. Chapter 5, verse 15, it says, the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. You know what he's saying? He's saying they're going to be brought down. And look, you either are going to humble yourself or God will humble you. One or the other. We either humble willingly or we are to truly be of that nature where we're saying, Lord, I want you to humble me the right way, where it's a willing thing. It's better to learn a lesson willingly than to learn one belligerently. And this is what God wants. He says, look, you're going to be brought down. You're going to be brought down. Take a look at what he says in chapter 10 of the book of Isaiah. Now again, these are all messianic in nature, but what it shows is it shows the need for humbleness with man. To walk with God, you have to be humble. To walk with God, you have to be humble. Take a look at what he says in chapter 10 in verse 33. And he says, behold, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bow with terror. The high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. Well, what is he talking about? Lopping off boughs and hewing down things that rise up against him. Now I want you to put that in perspective where you talk about over there, where he says to bring your thoughts into captivity and every high thing that exalted itself against God. I'm paraphrasing. There are some things you need to chop down in your life. You need to top a few things off. You need to cut down some boughs that are overgrowing, that need to be removed. Maybe you just need to remove the whole tree and be done with it. But again, what is it? When you're lopping something off and you are hewing something down, what are you doing? You are bringing it low. You're bringing it low. I mean, this again is this idea. And go over to Luke chapter 14, and we begin to realize that this is the mentality of humility and humbleness in our life. In Luke chapter 14, he says this in verse 11. And again, when we think of this word, this is not something that is a comfortable word. This is a word that when we look at it, we kind of go, oh. Luke chapter 14, verse 11, it says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You know, there are some people that need to be brought low and they need to be abased. You know, Paul learned how to be abased. What does that mean? The Lord used those things to humble him. The Lord used those things to humble him. In chapter 18 of the book of Luke, just take a look there, chapter 18. He repeats this. And in verse 14 in this parable, he says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." And this is the Pharisee and publican that I cited earlier. "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You know what? The Lord will exalt you in due time. Let him do the lifting up. Let him do it and handle those things. You just make yourself as abased and as low as humanly possible, and you say, "Lord, I know who you are, I know who I am, and I need to be humbly if I am going to walk with you." Now, I want to point this out here. Humbleness is essential to godliness. Because godliness, and let's kind of get a definition of what godliness is. Godliness is when our actions, our thoughts, our words exemplify the character of God. The character of Christ. Now, we know what it says over there in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8, where he humbled himself to come here. But I want you to think about something else, and I want you to go over to the book of Psalms in Psalm chapter 113, and I want you to think about this for a moment. Psalm chapter 113, the Lord is not limited like we are. We get tired. We get sick. We get hungry. We get thirsty. We have fleshly problems that we are praying for redemption one day when we get a new body. You know, and we think about how the Lord humbled himself to come down here to do that. Nothing tires out God. I mean, the only thing that quote-unquote wearies him is our constant complaining, moaning, and carrying on and doing things like that that are against him. But just again to be clear here, he doesn't grow tired like we grow tired. He isn't limited in that way. He doesn't need the food that we require. He doesn't need that water that we require. And yes, he put himself in that flesh to come down there and do that for us, so that he could die on the cross for our sins, to make the punishment or take the punishment for our sins. And he did that. He humbled himself. But I want you to think about something else, what the Bible says about this. Take a look at what he says in Psalm chapter 113, and I want you to take a look at verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations. I mean, we understand that. He is high above every single nation. There is no nation that is greater than God. And his glory above the heavens. So regardless of whatever country we think is great, I will tell you this, God is greater. God is greater. And it says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high?" Who is like, honestly, answer that question. Who is like him? There is no one. Not even any of the other spiritual entities, beings, creations that are out there are like unto him. None of them have the ability to create. Only God does. None of them have the ability to forgive sins. God does. Nobody has the ability to create a new creation in you. God does. Who is like unto him who dwelleth on high? In verse 6, I want you to notice this. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. God humbles himself. And God humbles himself to be able to look down on us. To look down on us. We like to think we're something special, don't we? We like to think that we are God's gift to creation. Because yeah, we are kind of the top of the food chain. We're at the top of everything, and we're a creation like any other creation that's out there. We're not like the trees, and we're not like the plant life, and we're not like animals, and we're not like those things. But I'll tell you this, you know, in the eyes of God, we're dirt, because that's what we're made out of. We're minerals, and our body is not worth that much. Because of inflation, I think we're now up to like $5.67. Used to be $2.38 in minerals. Now we're like, we kind of doubled our value, right? But he says we're dust. He remembers our frame, and he remembers we are dust. When you think about it, dust is something that you wipe away. Dust is something that you try to get rid of out of your house. Now think about that. Now, we do know what dust is. And some people say, well, it's cat and dog dander and things like that. And I get that. But it's also us. Human epithelials. Skin cells. You're like, ew. And then there's those little bugs that eat it. And then leave part of us behind. And you're like, oh, this is great just before potluck. Look, we think of ourselves too highly. Now look, I'm not trying to say that we need to go into a self-deprecation mode where we're just like constantly, you know, whipping ourselves in some sort of weird religious ritual to try to keep us down. What I'm talking about is what we do in our heart, and we realize God is high above and I am not. God is high above, and he has to humble himself to even look at me. If God's willing to do that for me, why would I not be willing to humble myself for him? If God says, I want you to walk with me and continue with me, then one thing I need to do is what? I need to humble myself in that walk. I can't walk with a proud spirit, with the haughtiness of my heart, with a mentality that I am something so great that I deserve salvation. I don't. By the way, that's kind of how the direction the Reformed theologists go. Well, I was chosen. Really? Really? Yeah, Calvinism leads to a pride-filled life. Because then you get to a point of where you don't think that you're actually worth anything, or excuse me, that you aren't going to do anything that is against God, that you're going to live a perfect and sinless life, and that you are going to magically somehow stop sinning. And when you do sin, it's still not sin. It's just kind of an error. Like, I don't care whether you call it an error or a sin, a mistake, or whatever it is. It's sin in the eyes of God. But the fact is if God has to humble himself to look at us, I think we should ourselves be humble when we walk with him. And I want us to understand this, and I'd like you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I won't point this out. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know, sometimes we go through things in this life and we may not understand why. And I get it that Job kind of asked some of those questions about why, God, am I going through this? And I'm not going to say it's wrong to ask that. But I think when we do ask it, we do have to be prepared for the reason, right? So if you ask God why, be prepared for an answer that may not necessarily be what you thought it would be. You know, sometimes we just go through stuff because that's how God humbles us and keeps us humble. I mean, that's what he did with Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't lift himself up. and that he would glorify God. I mean, that's what Paul said. Take a look at what he said to the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. He says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." He says, I want you to remember how I led you to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keepest his commandments or no. And it says there, and he says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I want you to think about that for a moment. What he is saying there very clearly is this. He's saying, look, the Lord lets you go through a little bit of some trial, some hunger, but then he came along with a blessing that no one else has ever experienced. I mean, you can't go to the Rose Hours or the Walmart and get a, you know, a bucket of manna today. It's unavailable. No longer there. Only they got to partake of that until they got to the land. There's a little bit of an over, you know, until they got all the things that they needed to get to live. But I want you to understand, it was for a limited time. It was a limited time offer. It was limited edition. That's what they had. And the Lord says, I'm giving that blessing to you to humble you. You know, sometimes the good things that we get in our life, we like to think of ourselves as maybe a little special. But sometimes it's given to us just to keep us humble. Again, you know, that kind of blows your mind when you think about it. But this is what he was doing with Israel. And take a look at what he says in verse 16. And again, going back to that point, he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not. They didn't eat it. He said, you guys did. That he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. I will tell you this, when the Lord works in your heart to humble you, it is a good thing for you. So as we walk with the Lord, we keep that humbleness at the forefront of our mind. We keep an understanding of who He is and who we are. We keep an understanding that it is the Lord that is high above and I'm low. I mean, isn't that what even John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ? It says, He must increase and I must decrease. The lower we are, the more humble we are, the better the walk is going to be. Because this is how he led them, by the way. This is how he led Israel. I'm going to lead you through, and the whole way I'm going to provide everything you need. Because you can't provide it for yourself. You know that book? This book is, if you will, that manna that came down from heaven. This book, which is the Word of God, is the bread of life. This book is what you need to provide sustenance in your soul. This is the book that you need that you will walk with the Lord in. And we begin to realize that as He is doing that and as He's humbling us, it makes sense with what James said. Remember what James said over there? And I want you to turn there. James chapter 4. We'll close with this. James chapter 4. I want you to see this. The great principle that we find in the book of James, in James chapter 4, in verse 6 it says, but he giveth more grace. I think we need more grace in our lives. I really think we need more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We need a lot of grace in this life. We need a lot of grace to know how to walk. We need a lot of grace with our mistakes. We need a lot of grace from Jesus Christ because He's the one that gives us grace. And I'll be very clear with this. There's a lot of grace that's in this book. And if you want to get close to the Lord, you want to draw an eye to Him, you find Him in this book. And the closer you draw to Him, the closer He draws to you. But the more that you resist Him and the more that you're against Him and the more you think that you maybe you know more than He does, which is a dangerous thing, but let's be honest, it happens more than you think. When God says, I want you to do this, and you go, you know what, I got a better plan. God says, this is the direction that I want you to go. This is what I want you to say. This is how I want you to say it. This is who I want you to say it to. Here's how I want you to behave. Here's how I want you to walk with me. Here's how I want you to think. I give it to you all right here in this book. And we go, I'm going to try my own thing first. That's not walking humbly. You know what happens? We run into resistance. You ever feel like sometimes you're walking through life and all of a sudden it feels like you're walking through water? You're like, why is everything so hard? Maybe there's some resistance. Maybe there's resistance to God. Maybe there's resistance to what He said. Maybe there's resistance to His plans. Maybe there's resistance to His commandments. And the Lord says, I just want you to walk with me. And if you're going to walk with me, you're going to do what I ask you to do. And we do it with a humble spirit. It says Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says that this is what God requires of us, our Lord, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We know that. If we want to continue our walk with the Lord, let's make sure we have the Lord check our hearts and pray to God, Lord, am I humble as you are humble? You humbled yourself to come here. You humble yourself to look at me. Lord, may I have the same humility and humbleness in my life that you displayed. May I have that character trait in my life as I walk with you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I don't want anybody looking around, but if you're here today and maybe you have not had that grace of God in your life of salvation, where He has so freely offered you the forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, a relationship with your Creator, the Comforter. And if you're here today and you haven't trusted Him as your Savior, I implore you, now is the time to do it. Don't lift yourself up with pride and think that you got time, because you may not. I'm not trying to scare you, and I'm not trying to, you know, put fear into your heart, but I'm just trying to say, I think we just need to realize we don't know everything, and God does. And if God's saying and imploring you right now with this plea, trust Him as your Savior, do not wait till later. Humbly yield yourself to God and seek salvation today. If you're that person, I want you to just come as soon as we start singing. Just step out. Nobody will say anything. Nobody's going to do anything. But just come and then I'll have somebody show you from the Word of God what it means to trust Christ as your Savior, to have forgiveness of sins, to have that relationship He wants with you. He wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that He humbled Himself to give Himself on that cross for your sins and for my sins, for the sins of the world. Will you receive Him today? Christian, this is just a little bit of a check of your call, of your walk,
of how you continue with Him? Are you humble? And we need more humility in this world. A lot more. Be a humble Christian that walks with the Lord. It's the greatest testimony you can have in your life to point to our Savior, who humbled Himself for us. Get it taken care of today if you're not. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. Thank You again, Lord, for all that You have given to us. Pray, Lord, that as we close with this hymn, that, Lord, You would just impress upon our hearts the need, Lord, for humility. Somebody is here that has not trusted You as their Savior, Lord. I pray Your Holy Spirit would show them the need for that, and that they would respond. Lord, I thank You so much for all that You have done. Lord, even how You look upon us, and demonstrating that humility and humbleness of heart that we need to exemplify in our own life. And Lord, may we do that. Pray, Lord, You continue to meet with us as we close with this hymn. And I ask this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.